Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Marco, you and I are learning some things. And I realize that now you are a very proud Kansas alum who's going up to Lawrence and going to homecoming football games and cheering on your undefeated Jayhawks, right? Is that what happened this weekend?
Yeah, went up there for the second weekend in a row. Didn't plan on going to the game. Was going to venture out on Mass Street and watch it until... Went up to the J school where you were at. Had a buddy, Sam Valdez, speaking. And our former advisor, Francis Leones, hooked us up with some tickets. So, nice.
You were packing the booth.
We packed the booth. Me and the buddies went and watched the undefeated Jayhawks go 5-0, man.
It's great to see you coming around and embracing your Jayhawk roots. I know you've claimed to be a Missouri fan all this time. But what you and I as KU alums are realizing is... In this bizarro world that we live in now, where Kansas is 2-0 in the Big 12, and Missouri's 0-2 in the SEC, and Oklahoma's 0-2 in the Big 12, we can't get Steven or Todd to show up in this place. Like, we can't get either one of them to set foot in the studio.
I have no excuse. I roll over, it's 6:35, and I'm like, I can't drive to Overland Park by 7 o'clock. So, yeah. I know we don't want to talk a lot of college football because the Chiefs played last night.
Oh, we want to talk all kinds of college football, buddy. What are you talking about? I'm a big college football guy all of a sudden.
I'll give you two tidbits, and this is not going to come true for either one of these. But from what you just said, the last time Oklahoma was 0-2 in the Big 12 – was 2 years ago, and they won the league. And the last time Kansas was 5-0, they fired their coach and had to pay $3 million in December.
That's all true. Hey, I was there, man. I was there. Lou Perkins was just looking for every possible reason he could find, and he was mad because Mangino had that team 5-0, and then they started losing games, and then he opened up an investigation and.
Oh boy,
ushered in the...
Neither one of those things is going to happen this year. The Sooners' defense will not allow them to win any league, and they'll be lucky to win a couple more games if they play the way they played this week. And, you know, Kansas keeps finding ways to win. I mean, you look back, there's no chance that they would have won that game Saturday in any of the previous last 10 years. They just would have found a way to lose. And they find ways to win now, and that's the encouraging part about it, because... They didn't play good at all. This offense was outstanding. What year was it? They got 200 yards of offense.
Yeah, they didn't score a point in the second half. But they won.
They had 215 yards of offense, and they won the game. And that's when you start having belief. That's when you believe in yourselves. And that's when you believe in your coaches, your players, your teammates, your program, all those things. That doesn't happen to teams that are flailing. And they found a way to win that. And, you know, this is exciting. The College Game Day is coming to town for the first time ever. And, you know, listen, by the way, TCU's coming to town. They're as excited as they've ever been.
Yep.
Because they got a brand new coach, and they're undefeated. And they just beat Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So this will be a fun matchup for sure.
And my wife and I are going, secured tickets. We haven't had a chance to go yet to a game because we're in that phase of having three children and sports activities every single weekend. I'm going to be abdicating my duties as the head coach of the Glowing Dragons coming up on Saturday so that I can go to this game, because I just finally realized it's either that or I don't go to a game all year. There's always something.
All year long, yeah.
You know, there's always something. Yeah. So we decided, you know what, we got to get up to a game. We can't miss out on all this stuff. So we're going up there this weekend. We're going to go Chiefs, but you mentioned, you know, so Oklahoma, they won the league last time. They were 0-2. Last time Kansas was 5-0, they fired their coach. They're not firing their coach this year.
No.
But will they have this coach at the end of the year? Boy, KU fans, my buddies were blowing up my cell phone. I was doing the sporting game yesterday. While I'm doing the game, my phone, I kind of keep my phone off to the side. I look down at it, and there's a million text messages. Wisconsin just fired their coach. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. You know, he's from Wisconsin. What are we going to do? So is Lance Leipold still going to be the coach at Kansas at the end of this year? No, he ain't getting fired, but is he still going to be there?
Yeah, I don't know. I know this. Kansas wants him to be there. They've already given him one contract extension this year.
Oh, they're tearing that sucker up.
They're going to have to do another.
Yeah, they're tearing that sucker up. And you know what? They should. They should. Because here's the thing. I was having this when we were up in Lawrence. Marco and I went up there. They had like a J-School alumni takeover day where alums like me and Marco got to go speak and, fill the kids there with all kinds of misinformation. And we went. We had a nice beer out on the patio at the Oread Hotel, which was fun, mm-hmm. Afterwards. And we were all talking about this situation with KU football. And I said then, and I'll say it again, KU has never had a run in football where they've been good every year for like a 10-year stretch, right? They've only gone to back-to-back bowl games once ever, and that was the Mangino era when they went to the Orange Bowl and Insight Bowl. I have Insight Bowl ring, Marco.
Of course you do.
You're an insightful person.
And I was saying, you know, I just have this stupid thing in my head where that's what's going to ruin it this time is somebody's going to offer Leipold like so much money he can't walk away, he can't turn it down, and he's going to leave. Because if Leipold coaches there for 10 years, they're going to be good for 10 years. I'm not saying they're going to go 5-0 every time and go out and win 10 games or anything like that, because you got to get the quarterback, you got to have stuff come together. But I feel certain that is going to be a legitimate team every year as long as he's the head coach. I feel like you can already see that, can't you?
Yeah, and, you know, that's what I thought Wisconsin, I don't know if there's something else going on up there. It's a pretty quick trigger on Paul Chryst. I know they're having a not great year. Maybe they just couldn't take having Brett Bielema's crappy Illinois team come beat him. But, yeah, it seemed like a pretty quick trigger on him, because they've been okay. I mean, they won 9 games last year. That big they weren't good in 2020, but that was the COVID year, and a lot of things weren't great. But they've won, you know, double-digit games a whole bunch of times, and they won 9 last year. But this year, off to a rough start. They lost at home to Washington State, and now they're 0-2 in the league, and they fired him. And it's like $15 million or something. It's a big amount of money. So, yeah, that I was not scared of Nebraska, because I can't remember who I told this to. The time that he spent time in Nebraska, Omaha, but he also spent time at actual Nebraska. And Coach Leipold was at actual Nebraska when they fired Frank Solich for only winning 9 games. So I think he understands that insanity up there. But Wisconsin might be a different pull. But we'll just have to see what Wisconsin's got in mind, what they're after. I have no idea, you know. This just happened yesterday.
Yep.
And I wouldn't like it, though. That's what you don't like. When you like your coach, you never like any time that that some big wig place or somewhere near hometown gets open. You don't like that at all.
Well, Travis Goff's done an incredible job, made an incredible hire there. We'll maybe see if he can keep Lance Leipold in the fold. All right, let's talk some Chiefs. All the hand-wringing last week about the offense. They go out there, first three possessions of the game, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. They play from in front the entire way. And honestly, really didn't let it ever get that interesting. Like, Mahomes threw the pick at the end, but they were already up by a couple of scores at that point, and they win the game.
Three scores, so yeah. You felt okay.
Yeah, so you weren't like, oh, no, this is a big problem. All the problems on the offense, are they all fixed in your opinion? Or, you know, like, what's your biggest takeaway from the Chiefs getting this win over the Bucs?
Well, the big takeaway is, you know, it's a good football team. And I think the offensive line felt really bad that they weren't able to do anything last week. I mean, like, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 0 yards rushing, right?
Mm-hmm.
On like seven carries. So they felt challenged for sure. And I think the coaches challenged these guys this week. You know, it was very businesslike. I try to – one thing that I enjoy about this job is you get to go be in and around the players in the locker room and stuff when they're not at a podium, right? You get a little feel for things. And I'll tell you, I mentioned this on Wednesday, I think on with Seren. This was the first week I'd gone in the locker room where there's no basketball being played. It seemed like it was all business. And it wasn't like they were all down moping in the lockers because they're 0-4 or something like that. But it was a different feel in there. Like, it was like, and there's no time to mess around with this other stuff. We just lost a game where we shouldn't have been playing the way we played. They almost won the Colts game, and they played like crap on all sides. Special teams, offense, defense, when they had a chance to win the game, couldn't do it. It was all bad. And they all played better this week. You know, they cut their kicker. They brought this kid in who looked like one of the equipment managers, and he was awesome last night. I mean, he was great. But that offensive line especially took the challenge from, you know, the talk coming out of Tampa about how this didn't look any different or any than they saw in the Super Bowl. And they protected Mahomes well enough. He got sacked a couple of times. But, boy, they ran the ball, man. That was something to see. Even there at the end, after Mahomes threw the pick and they scored the touchdown, it's like, hey, you get a couple of first downs, you really helped this game. And you know what they did? They ran the ball, got a couple first downs.
Yeah.
And, you know, they finally had to punt at the very end.
And they should have had another first down. That was a garbage holding call, I thought, on Fortson.
That was terrible.
That was a garbage. That was just, you blocked him too well.
Yeah, sorry. You should not supposed to do that. Yeah, and they, you know, the only time in the earlier in the game where they got a fourth down, they threw a pass that probably was going to be a touchdown. It was just a little bit off, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire couldn't catch it. And that thing looked open, like he was going to run down the field. So they just really did a good job. And it's funny, you don't look at the stats and go, oh, my God, Mahomes threw for 450 yards and six touchdowns or something. But, you know, he had a really nice night and some amazing plays. The jump pass to Helaire on the goal line, you just don't see from anybody really in this league. And they got creative, and it worked with Noah Gray doing the belldozer type thing. That worked for sure. Pacheco was running with a lot of force this week. So you get this team, and you have the kind of balance they had there, and you roll up what they end up with on the ground. 189
yep.
on the ground
yep.
and 228. That's going to be really tough to beat, especially when they win the turnover battle by one, and they make all their kicks, man. It was good to see. They took the challenge on. They went down, and they beat a team that has a bugaboo over them with what happened in the Super Bowl, and it was very impressive to see. I know the defense isn't happy they gave up 31 points, but eventually the Bucs were going to figure it out when they got all their weapons back, which is the first time they've had them kind of all this year, was last night.
You know who didn't run the ball?
The Bucs. 3 yards?
3 yards rushing for Tampa Bay on the day. They only handed it off six times. Rashad White had 3 carries. Leonard Fournette had 3 carries. Like, you look at the box score and you go, that can't be right. But Tom Brady threw it 52 times in the game. And this is one of the things where I do think, like, looking at stats can be a little misleading and everything, because his QB rating is 114 and Mahomes is 97.7. He goes 39 for 52, 385 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. That's a pretty incredible game, right? But his team mm-hmm. was trailing the entire game, and they never really were in it, right?
No, they weren't, and that's the cool part. Now, obviously, the turnover on the first play of the game and to score a touchdown was big. But, Tampa scored. But then they got a couple of punts there in the first half. And, you know, the Chiefs just kept scoring. That's the important part. Mm-hmm. You don't need to stop the Bucs every time. But when the Chiefs offense scores every time they touch the ball there at the beginning, then you're going to get yourselves behind. And, listen, sometimes that's the way to do it, is to just throw the ball. Because if you're not going to be able to run it, you just do that, I guess. But it seems pretty weird to see a game like that where you end up throwing it 50 times and only running it 6 times. And that was the recipe for the Chiefs to win that game for sure.
Should we?
I didn't think that was going to be that way, but it was.
Should we be concerned? How concerned should we be that with Tom Brady dropping back and throwing it 52 times, he was only sacked once? He was hit 5 times, according to the ESPN box score, but he was only sacked 1 time, and that was by L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah, that's a concern. That's a concern. But, you know, he does get the ball away quickly. Everyone talks about that. He doesn't sit back there and hold it a lot. Now, they got there a couple other times and couldn't get him down. But he's still a big, strong guy. But he was the wrong guys were getting there. It was all blitzing. I'd be a little concerned about that. But not as concerned as I'd be if it was someone who gets sacked 50 times a year or something.
Joe Burrow, sacked all the time because he holds on to the ball forever, right?
And they couldn't get to him. But that was disappointing. You'd have thought with throwing it 50 times, and quite a bit of third down stuff too. They were trying, man. They were blitzing. They were doing all kinds of stuff. They just couldn't get there. I will say this on those quarterback ratings. I do like the QBR a little bit better. The ESPN's rating that includes rushing and kind of other things you do. Mahomes was 90.5, which is off the charts good, and Tom Brady was 74.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah.
You got an A and a C.
Right. And then you get that play by Mahomes that's just – I don't know where it ranks among all of his all-time, like, highlight reel moments, but it's another one you put on the list, right?
Well, it's got to be top five. I mean, there's so many of them. Like the insane – here's what is different about this one, right? The fourth and whatever against the Ravens, where he just threw it down the field and Tyreek Hill went and caught it, or some of those plays like that. You know, the receiver did something special as well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, he caught the ball, he kept his feet in and all that stuff. But nobody does this. And this, he did it like twice. He did it on one of the first down, he was getting sacked and he threw a ball and got it out to, was it Juju maybe, and picked up a first down. But he spun around, and he basically, if you go back and look at the replay with the line of scrimmage on the field, he like stops and pops. I mean, maybe his toe was right on the line, but everyone's like, is he over the line? Is he over the line? Go back and look. I mean, his toes are like they'd had to go on a replay in college football to see, is it worth 3 or 2? It's just incredible, his awareness on the field and the fact that he would make that throw. But when those things happened, you knew everything was working pretty good for the Chiefs last night, because they had a couple of those little broken plays, and Travis Kelce, who looked very sore and injured early in that game, continued to make plays too and just finds himself open. But I don't think you'll have to go back. Someone needs to go back and make a highlight list and have people vote on which one of these plays are crazier, because that's a touchdown too. That's another thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the left-handed play in Denver was they needed it, because it kept a drive alive, and that I think they might have been trailing that game at the time. And, you know, I just think about all of them running around 65 yards or something against San Francisco and throwing a bullet to Chris Conley in the end zone. And he had one earlier this year to McKinnon. And I remember asking Matt Nagy about it. We had the assistants that Wednesday. And he's like, yeah, I've been watching these things from afar for 4 years, and I'm getting back to see it now. It's pretty incredible. I'm sure his mind was blown last night on that one, too.
I retweeted a still frame that was sent out by Benjamin Solak. And it's a picture of Mahomes standing at the 5-yard line. And I don't remember who the defender was from the Bucs that was, you know, that he did the spin move on.
It doesn't matter. He's just a person in his way.
Mike Tomlin calls him the faceless gray names, something like that, you know, on the other team. We're not concerned with them. Yeah, it's just a guy. It's like, you know, the ensign from Star Trek. Yeah, some guy from the Bucks who thought he could tackle Patrick Mahomes. But anyways, that guy is like, he's right in front of Mahomes. He's got two hands on him. And Mahomes kind of got his arm cocked back, and he's looking into the end zone where I think it's Watson and Clyde Edwards-Helaire are both on the goal line. There are two Buck defenders all over both of them. Kelsey's right behind him in the middle of the end zone, like where the letters in Buccaneers are, and there's a defender all over him. And the still frame says he, and it's right over Patrick Mahomes' head, is about to throw a touchdown to him. And it shows Clyde Edwards-Helaire is sandwiched in between two defenders right on the goal line. There's nobody open. There's nothing there. I mean, there's like every reason to chuck this ball out of bounds, you know. It's second down from the two-yard line. There's no play there to be made. And when you know what that play ends up being and you look at that still frame, you just, to me, like, it's a perfect perspective on the guy's a magician.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they don't give up on the play. Yeah. You know, the players know that.
Right.
Because a lot of times you'll see guys just kind of give up, and they know what's up. They practice this stuff. I mean, they do these things in practice, and sometimes it's just messing around having fun. You know, and when I first saw it with my blind eye, I thought he might have flipped it behind his head, right? And then we go back in the show, the replay. It's just incredible because he kind of just stops and pops. He spins around, and then he stops and pops. It's just like wild, man. So, yeah, that'll be one they remember for a long time. You know, it's just it's amazing, and it makes these guys shake their heads. What those plays do is it just breaks the back of the defense because they're like, we did everything. We hit this guy. We got him out the wrong way. We put people on him, and then he just—it's like a pop pass. I didn't know what game you do that. And it was like he was playing beer pong. He just kind of flips the ball, you know, because it's not like you don't throw the ball that way in anything. I don't know. It's like it's crazy.
Well, somebody tweeted at me. That this is an example of why Patrick Mahomes being a multi-sport athlete is so relevant. And I agree with it because to me, he's playing basketball when he gets out into those situations. He's faking passes. He's freezing defenders with little head and shoulder fakes, you know, and then he's just picking out a little dime to drop on somebody from short range, right? And there's all these different ways that a great passer in basketball can get the ball to somebody, right? Throwing it over the top of the defense. The only thing he can't do is bounce it to him. He can't throw a bounce pass, you know, but all these different things, that's what he does. He's able to freeze defenders with head fakes. You're not sure if he's going to drive to the basket or if he's going to pull up and drop a dime to somebody else. You're not sure if he's going to run.
Pretty crazy. I'm watching this again. I didn't realize he never like patted the ball with his other hand. He just always had it in his right hand.
And you don't know, is he going to throw it? Is he going to tuck it and run? And those little moments of hesitation are all he needs to open up that tiny little window to sneak a little pass in there, whether it's one that he shoots in there real quick or one that he throws over the top. And the thing about basketball, too, is that's a game of improvisation, right? Basketball is a game of reading and reacting. If your defender defends you one way, you adjust, you know, if they depending on the screen you get, if the defender steps out on it, you change what your decision is going to be. And so it's a reaction-based sport. And that's what it becomes when Mahomes rolls out like that. He's playing basketball at that point. There's other times when he's playing shortstop. You know, the throws that he makes across his body are the kind of throws that Derek Jeter used to make when he had to field a ball going up the middle and then turn and jump and throw across his body all the way across the diamond, right? And lowering his arm angle and all that stuff. You see Mahomes make those types of throws all the time. And I do think there's 100% truth to that. He is not a programmed quarterback the way some guys are that just go to quarterback factories and this is how you play quarterback. He's taken something that he's learned from every sport he ever played, and he uses those principles to go out there and beat people. And it's a phenomenal thing to watch. And Somebody else was telling me, you know, there's my Twitter timeline is filled with people that are A, mad that I'm talking too much KU football on the day after the Chiefs win a game, and then a couple people that have said I've brought up Tyreek Hill too many times when the Chiefs have just won a game. You know, we should move past the ex-boyfriend thing. The reason I'm bringing up Tyreek Hill now is because what we heard so much last week was, there you go, this Chiefs offense, it's not going to be the same without Tyreek Hill. We see clearly that they do not have as good of a wide receiving core as they did before, and it's going to hurt this offense. And the context is, yeah, I think we all realized that the big plays weren't going to be there maybe as much with Tyreek Hill gone, but that maybe the overall offense and receiving core would be better because Mahomes might have more a higher number of reliable targets. And the numbers that Marco put out there, Todd, for the year show that the Chiefs are as efficient of an offense as any offense in the league right now.
Yeah, they've been very good. And you know, last week notwithstanding, it's hard to – you can't take away last week because right now it's a quarter of the season.
Yeah.
And last week was bad. So last week won't seem like much in 6 weeks because it'll only be a tenth of the season. But last week was atrocious. But like I said, had they maybe, you know, fielded a punt or Travis Kelce catch one touchdown pass, they might win last week. And then it just goes down as a chalk it up as a boring win that you get a few times a year. You know what I mean? So that happens a lot of times. Not every win is on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football and you score 45 points. Sometimes there's some stinkers out there. Last week they didn't win the stinker. But their defense, or they have moved the ball well enough with these guys. And my assumption is they're going to continue to get better the longer they play together. And they've right now have only gotten to play four real games together. And they looked better last night. There was, you know, MVS had the one little drop, but he made some good plays. Juju Smith-Schuster made some good plays. Travis Kelce did what he always does. And Jody Fortson once again finds himself down there at the goal line making a play. They're going to get better as they go along. But, you know, listen, whatever. Don't be mad about talking about Tyreek Hill or if you never want to mention his game again, name again. I guess I don't care. You have to talk about him. He was here for a long time. But they're going to find a way to play offense because the most important thing is the quarterback. That's the most important thing, and they've got that.
Well, it's the quarterback and the coach. And, yeah, the quarterback is the most important thing. You're right about that. And the coach is the second most important thing, and they have both. And you look around the league, and the Buffalo Bills got a big come-from-behind win yesterday against the Ravens, who have blown two big leads now this season. The Bills are 3-1. The Miami Dolphins are 3-1, but what's going to happen with the Dolphins?
I don't know, with
the whole situation with Tua, I don't think anybody feels I'll tell you this much right now. I don't think the Dolphins are in the same category as the Chiefs and Bills yet. I just don't, especially with all the situations they got going on with quarterback and trying to keep Tua healthy. The rest of the AFC West, well, the Broncos lost to the Raiders. And the Chargers, hey, the Chargers looked good. I think the Chargers are not going away. As long as they can keep Herbert healthy, they got another win. But that was over a Texans team that's 0-3. So I don't think we need to, you know, make any huge proclamations off of that game. We'll talk more about what lies ahead for the Chiefs. It's Raider week, by the way, Todd. Are you ready for Raider week? You're going to get yourself
Monday Night Football, baby.
You're going to get yourself some seats in the upper deck at Arrowhead and maybe fight some people. You ready for that?
Well, I was planning on being in Sanibel Island next week on vacation, but I guess I'll be in the press box now.
Is that right?
Oh, that's
right. There's no Sanibel Island anymore, is there?
No, there's not. Man. Good news, though, my Airbnb host did get back to me, so I'm glad she's alive. That's good.
And did she give you your refund?
Yeah, we're working that out. Okay. It'll be fine.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I'm glad she's all right.
I hadn't heard from her for 4 days. I was really scared about her, honestly.
Seriously, yeah. Hey. I've been talking to Don Fortune, by the way, who lives down in Punta Gorda, Florida, and his house is intact, and that was good. I was glad to hear
that. Yeah,
I was glad for anybody. I feel bad for anybody that's going through all that down in Florida right now. We'll take a break. We got Todd Lebo with us as the Chiefs are 3-1 after a big win over the Bucks last night.
that one wasn't in the playbook. He's a, you know, I can't remember what the play was. I was so excited about that one, man. I mean, but it wasn't going to him. It wasn't going to the back. Not that way, at least.
Andy Reid, just like everybody else, just grab some popcorn and watch Patrick Mahomes go to work sometimes. You can call up great plays, and sometimes you just say, hey, 15, can you go make a play? And that's what Mahomes did on that touchdown pass to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Got Clyde Edwards-Helaire on my fantasy teams, both my fantasy teams, and I've been pretty happy with it so far this year.
Well, that finally paid off. That wasn't very good last week.
But... Well, he still had a touchdown last week.
He did.
You know, he did. And he had a couple of decent, and he had a couple, he had some receiving yards last week as well. If that's the low end of what I'm going to get out of him, I'll take that. Because he was a value pick, Todd. He wasn't like a high draft pick or anything like that. I think I got him for $4 in my in the auction league. Let's hear from Andy Reid talking about the trenches, because in today's NFL, it's all about passing the ball all over the field, right? And the Chiefs are one of those teams. But the team that threw for far more yardage in this game lost. Mm-hmm. And the team that could run the ball won. And the team that couldn't run the ball didn't win. Here's Andy Reid talking about the importance of that offensive and defensive line.
Yeah, our guys did. It starts up when you play a good football team, it always starts up front. And so you give tribute to the guys up front. You give tribute to the linebackers and safeties tackling, along with the corners. They're involved with that too. So I thought we tackled well for the most part, and we executed the game plan, which was good. Spags and the coaches put a lot of time into that. The players believed in it, and they executed it. And against Tom, and that crew that they have. You've got to be spot on. So they're going to score some points. They're good. But you got to be spot on against them.
Pay tribute to the greatest song in the world.
Got to pay tribute.
Here's Andy Reid. How do you explain?
What would you think if that was what Andy Reid was really talking about?
What's that? Tribute.
What if Andy Reid was really talking about paying tribute to the greatest song in the world?
Well,
I don't think he's ever heard that.
Marco is looking at me like he has no idea. So,
Marco doesn't know.
Tenacious
Marco and Andy Reid are in the same boat on that.
Familiar with the band.
This is not the greatest song in the world. This is a tribute to the greatest song in the world. here's Andy Reid talking about the difference night and day between the Week 3 performance against the Colts and the Week 4 performance against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, so Herbie, listen, we stunk it up last week. We all knew that. We admitted it to you. We didn't play the way we should play. And not that the Colts aren't a good football team, but you don't do the things that we did and expect to win the football game. And we're still in the, in the battle for it, but yeah, you can't do those things. So the guys cleaned it up today, which is important. If this becomes a ongoing issue, that you're not going to win a lot of games. And so it was important that the guys put their foot down and did what they did. My hat goes off to them for that effort.
All right, let's skip ahead, because I think I need to play this sound clip for my children, who I have to wrestle away from their devices so they can see these moments of brilliance that Patrick Mahomes is putting on display for us. And as I try to remind my children, you're going to want to be able to say you saw this stuff someday, instead of watching Sniper Wolf for 3 hours straight. Here's Andy Reid about just advice on watching 15 play quarterback.
Yeah, just the fact that he knew where he was spinning to was good enough for me. And to be able to get it off and then complete it. And for 25 to get his feet in was good too. I mean, there wasn't a lot of room there. He's had a lot of phenomenal plays, and I always remind the coaches, don't take it for granted, man. One of those things, I probably say the same thing to our media here, you know, just that's special. And so you enjoy every one of those, man, every one of them. That's, you just don't see that very often.
The amazing thing is we just keep seeing ones that kind of outdo the others. It's nuts, man. It's just absolutely crazy because, like I said, there were like two of them last night. The other one was in the first half where number 24 had him in his grasp and he like spun out of it like twice and then just, you know, just floated one over to Juju Smith-Schuster. And that was the third down, I think, that kept him going. Plays like that, I mean, that just gets lost in the shuffle. That's just a play, right?
Yep.
Because he outdid himself on the next one. It was the same game. It was like 30 minutes later.
Yeah. No, he does something five times a game. He does something that you watch and you go, well. And he normalizes that. You know, the phrase normalize whatever. Normalize making
normalize greatness.
Yeah, normalize greatness. Yeah, like, yeah, otherworldly talent. I don't know if this was – it was one of those little subtle comments by Andy Reid or not, but – something that did come up this weekend that we didn't really talk about on the air at all, but was just all over social media, and people were tweeting it at us and sending it to us and all that stuff. And the Kansas City Star put out a tweet that talked about Patrick Mahomes being a selfish player that just cares about himself. And the way they sent it out, as soon as I saw it and somebody sent it to me, I was like, God, who would possibly write that that works for the Kansas City Star, right? And then you click on it, and in fact, nobody who works for the Kansas City Star wrote it. It was a letter to the editor, right? And
right.
Whoever's
but
in...
But they put it out like it was something.
And that's right.
In my opinion, I think the Star was looking for clicks.
Of course they were. And whoever they is, like, I don't know who it is. I don't know who the person is at the Star that decides. Because they also put a graphic up, right? There's a picture of Patrick Mahomes, and it didn't say anything like letter to the editor. The tweet itself didn't say, like, letter to the editor, Patrick Mahomes is this. The tweet just said Patrick Mahomes is, I should have it in front of me, but it said something like Patrick Mahomes is all about himself. And it got everybody stirred up. It got exactly what the Star wanted from it. And part of what I don't want to do, you don't want to give those types of things oxygen, because what it does is cause them to want to do it again. Because it's all about the algorithms and how many people you can get to click on this thing and all that stuff. But what I feel bad for is all those guys, you know, Herbie Teope, Blair Kirkhoff, Jesse Newell, Sam McDowell,
Vahe Gregorian. I saw him in there on Friday catching crap from you know, people and the Chiefs PR staff and all this stuff. And they're like, it wasn't us, dude. Hey, listen.
I feel for them because their own company just threw them under the bus. You know, just threw them under the bus. And I will say, like, I used to, when I traveled with the Kansas City Royals for this radio station, right? Somebody would say something on the air that I had nothing to do with, and I'd go into the clubhouse and just get lit up by people, right? Because I had the 810 logo on my shirt. I remember getting called into Buddy Bell's office in New York City, and he just aired me out for 30 minutes about stuff that other people had said on the radio that week about his team, you know? And I said, you know, at one point I said, Buddy, what am I saying that you have a problem with? Because all I can do is answer for what I'm saying. And he said, no, you can answer for your radio station because you work for them. And you have that logo on your shirt. When you come in here, you represent that radio station. And if you're the only one that's in here from that radio station, then you got to wear it. And I was like, well, that doesn't seem fair to me, you know, but that's part of. And so I know how that feels. And that's one thing, because, like, look, people have to have their own opinions. And if somebody from the Star, you know, has an opinion on something, fine. They just took some garbage letter they got to the editor. And how many of those must they get? Right.
Well, I'm looking at the tweet right now. It says he's the greatest quarterback, comma, sure. But he only cares about how he looks, comma, not his team. And then it's got a line, then it says opinion. So it actually makes you believe it's the star's opinion when you look at it without clicking on it. And by the way, not everyone is a subscriber to the star. So many people clicked on that and couldn't read it and don't even know who wrote it. They just see that it says opinion on there. And then it's the editorial board, who does have some insane opinions sometimes. Okay?
Yes.
I wouldn't put it past them.
That was my first thought was, ooh, I wonder if this is from the editorial board. Because of exactly what you just said right there. They put out some ridiculously off-the-mark opinions, in my opinion, I guess. So I thought that same thing. I was like, oh, I wonder if this is from the editorial board. And then I saw it, and I was like, oh, it's a letter to the editor? And they're putting that out there. And the only reason
Let me tell you something. It caused a stir, because then Brittany Mahomes is tweeting about it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. She retweeted it and said, that's not what we do here in Kansas City. We don't come after our own people like that, right?
Right. And I was out there Friday. Lots of guys from the Star. They're catching crap from the Chiefs PR staff. It was in good fun because those guys know it's not them. You know, this was not like they were really mad at him or something, but we just kept joking. Anytime the next person walked in, oh, here's Herbie. Herbie's in charge of the letters, the editor. Oh, no, here comes Vahe. He's in charge. You know, it was a joke Friday when we're out there talking about it, but it's a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing is,
I'm going to say this to you. This is advice for anybody in the world, okay, who's on social media or in anything on the internet. Not every click is a good click. Some of them are damaging. So just keep that in mind. And I think the Star won't probably do something like that again, because I think they probably learned they're in a business that they want people to give them money to read those things. And that is the way to get people to say, no, I'm out. I'm not giving you any money to read anything anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
my opinion.
Right. Look, this is the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes you're dealing with. You know what I mean? Like, first of all, what like wrong foot has Patrick Mahomes set in this town? I mean, from the day that he got here, and he's not a perfect human being. I mean, he's made mistakes. I was a little critical of him on Friday because I think that if anybody was in the wrong, if there really was a wrong in the whole thing with him and Eric Bieniemy last weekend, Mahomes was the one that was wrong there. You know,
and if that's the worst look he's had.
Yeah.
My God.
He wanted to go.
It really wasn't even heated. It was just
he wanted to go for it. Yeah. He wanted to go for it. You know, like that's it. If that's the biggest thing you can criticize the biggest star in town for doing when he lives under the biggest microscope ever, and he has to answer questions about people in his family and all that other stuff that gets dragged out into the light of day, and he just doesn't ever seem to put a foot wrong. You know, he never puts his foot in his mouth, and he goes out there and wins. I felt bad for those guys because whoever
you've been
it was,
there.
Whoever it was, I've
been there. And
you've been there.
You never want to answer for someone else.
Right. I have a tough enough time answering for the stupid crap I do in my life. And Lord knows I got enough of those stupid things that I got to answer for. And so, you know, I got a tough enough time trying to deal with that. I don't, you know, like having to answer for every other opinion that anybody else has or any other stupid thing they do. And the thing is that made me mad, because when I saw that, whoever it is from the Star that decided, oh, this will get us a ton of clicks, didn't spend a single second considering what it's going to do to all the guys that actually spend all their time and energy covering that team and want to do it in good faith and want to represent the Star and the city and the newspaper the right way. Completely did not care about how that's going to affect them, because whoever sent that out isn't going to go out to the stadium and say, hey, it was me, by the way. Come after me, right?
Hey, well, hey, maybe we should thank them because it motivated the Chiefs.
There you go. That? Yeah, so somebody else needs it, so let's see if they can tweet. Do you think that motivated Patrick Mahomes more or the Chiefs more, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming out and saying that the offensive line is no different than the Super Bowl offensive line?
That was the one that got them, for sure. And I could feel it, man. I told you, there was no basketball in there on Wednesday.
Yep.
Travis Kelce was, we were kind of strung out on Friday. Waiting. He'll be here in a little bit. He'll be here. He's getting a lift in, and he shows up, and I was like, he better show up sweaty and like veins pumped out, or I'm going to think he was eating a sandwich somewhere. And you know what? He showed up sweaty, veins pumping out. He was intense and ready to go for the game on Friday. So these guys who have been around a little bit longer and understood how hard it was to get to the Super Bowl and lost that game to that team, they felt this one more than the other guys, right? Not everyone on this team was on the Super Bowl team 2 years ago. A lot of young guys on this team. And not everyone who was on the team who lost to them in the Super Bowl, like, I'm not saying anything, you know, that I know anything insightful here, but like Mecole Hardman was on the team, but Mecole Hardman had already won a Super Bowl. He'd only been in the league for 2 years. He thought you go to the Super Bowl every year. But Travis Kelce had been on this team for a decade and lost that game. He knows how hard it was. Guys like him, man, I'm telling you, this one meant something for sure to him. And I know it meant something to Mahomes for the only not scoring a touchdown, you know, all that kind of stuff. They were motivated for this one. You get that Tampa Bay stuff from their guys in there. I think the star editorial pages with the letter to the editor are small potatoes in that front. But they were definitely ready to go, and it was a perfect recipe. Fumble on the opening kickoff, you know, Katie barred the door. It was awesome.
Todd, thank you so much for waking up eventually and coming on the show with us today to talk about your 0-2 Sooners.
Yes, be nice to Gary. Don't bring up the Sooners to him when he gets the weather. Just let him do the weather.
That's ridiculous. Look, as somebody, again, I'm just going to close with this too. As somebody said to me yesterday, so what's your expectation of KU football now this year? I said, look, I still just want to go to a bowl game. Honestly, I'm not going to start dreaming of winning the Big 12 or anything like that. It's 2-0.
By the way, Nate, me too at this point.
You want your team to go to a bowl game. I get it. All right, Todd, we'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, guys.
That is Todd Lebo. We'll get a weather forecast from Gary Lezak right after this. Let's get a weather forecast from the one and only Gary Lezak. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. It's Celebration Monday. How are you?
Woo! We're celebrating that the Jayhawks are 5-0 and College Game Day's coming to Lawrence, baby.
No way, they're coming to Lawrence?
Yes, sir.
5-0?
Your Sooners are 0-2, Gary.
Five? No, I know. Lebo said you're not allowed to talk about
that. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
5-0?
Can you believe it?
Jayhawks? What?
What world are we living in?
I don't know. They stormed the field. I mean, I don't know. Why did they storm the field? But you know.
Because they won a football game. They're going to storm the field anytime they win a game for a while, and that's fine. That's fine. Don't judge KU fans. At least they're there, Gary.
I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, dude, it was good to see. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
No, it's 5-0. I mean, Jayhawk fans, pitch yourselves. 5-0. Who did they play this week?
TCU. TCU's undefeated. They beat a team down in Texas yesterday or on Saturday.
How did TCU do this weekend?
They put up 668 yards of offense.
Against who?
Oklahoma.
Oh my gosh.
You told me not to talk about that.
I wanted to hear you say it just to make sure I get the reality check as well. But, hey, we got Patrick Mahomes doing magical stuff. I mean, yesterday was really incredible. You know, I mean, you go – in the NFL, a win is a win no matter how you win it. You know, I want to clobber them. I would have loved to win 48-24. But, you know, it is what it is. And Tom Brady – how many rushing yards did Tampa Bay have?
Three
yards rushing on 6 attempts. So 50 passes from Tom Brady, and the Chiefs dominate and come out of there with a victory, and they look awfully good. When Patrick Mahomes is at his best, he is the best. We know that. So 4 straight AFC championship games at home. I mean, it's not a dynasty because the Chiefs only won one Super Bowl, and, you know, we got just exciting. All I got to say is it's pretty exciting. So this week it's
Oh, boy.
Oh, my.
Raider week.
Yeah, we get an extra day to get ready for Monday Night Football at Arrowhead, GEAJ Field at Arrowhead Stadium. And the weather pattern is changing. We do have some major changes in the weather pattern developing. The new LRC, if you've been following it for many years, like many of you have, by the way, the bloggers at KSHC named it the LRC, my hypothesis from 20 years ago. Actually, something I came up with 37 years ago. The pattern is cycling regularly, and there are massive changes going on right now. The biggest massive change that happens in meteorology and the weather pattern happens in the first week of October when the new pattern sets up for the season. So we will identify what that is. Now, in Monday Night Football, caught in that change. Right now I'm having a high of 68 degrees next Monday. I know. So just something to monitor. We might have to update that as we get closer. But it's Victory Monday right now. Sunny, beautiful through Thursday. 79 to 80 degrees just about every single day through Thursday. We're in a very dry pattern, so we need something new to start showing up. But a strong cold front due Thursday night. Temperatures may be down to 38 degrees Saturday morning. Yeah, Sunny. Yep, Sunny's excited about that one. She's got the big fur coat. Yeah, what? What? 38 degrees? Yeah. So, Nate, I'm sure you'll talk about the Chiefs next hour, right?
Probably mention them a time or two.
What did you think of that play? The spin and the two-yard? How did he do a spiral? How was that a spiral? Isn't that amazing?
It's Mahomes.
Yeah. Even that little pass was a spiral. Mm-hmm. Easy to catch. So I can't wait to hear you next hour, and I'll be listening right now. It's 55 degrees. Today's high, 80. Have a great day, everybody. Celebration Monday.
That's Gary Lezak. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.